Hello everyone and welcome back to episode 262 of your favourite Formula One show. Yes, Knowing Wheel returns this time out to preview the US Grand Prix. Yes, six races over the next 8 or 9 weeks, including three. I think it's six races and three sprints in the next 8 weeks, Jamie. If you enjoy the podcast, there's probably going to be a lot of it coming because we are really now kind of into that final grind of the season, aren't we? I'm sure it feels like for some of the drivers.
These are the championship rounds, and there should hopefully be a good championship to cover over the next 8 or 9 weeks. But for the likes of, I'm sure, the Ferrari drivers, maybe the Haas, you know, Alpine especially, they're just going to be longing for the season to end at this point.
Yeah, I think it's going to be, I mean, maybe Max Verstappen is going to be looking forward to this as well. I'm sure that'll be something you bring up in this week's show as well. But yeah, we really are kind of getting into the nitty-gritty of the World Championship, which this is the first time, I feel like, since we obviously had this kind of last six-race leg, isn't it? Obviously, with all the sprint races thrown in there as well, that we've actually got a championship battle going on. Because obviously 23 and 24 to a lesser degree, obviously already Verstappen pretty much had checked out, hadn't he?
There was a point of 24 season, I got worried, but it lasted a day, and that was Brazil qualifying.
Yeah, so I think it's kind of the first time we've really might be able to experience this as well. It does also mean, Jamie, obviously, because it's a sprint weekend, we've got some late-night sprint qualifying tonight. I don't know how you feel about this. I don't know how late you like to stay up. But I'm actually fairly looking forward to having a couple of drinks and watching Formula One cars.
What time is it on?
Sprint qualifying UK is at 10:30 tonight until 11:15. This is all UK time for our listeners. The sprint race then is at 6 till 6:30 tomorrow. Qualifying is then from 10 till 11, and the race on Sunday is then from 8 p.m.
Okay, well, I generally go to bed shortly after 11 p.m. So I will do my best. Yeah, I'm quite an early. Is that early? I feel like that's early.
I go to bed at 10 p.m. pretty much.
Oh, really?
Pardon the use of term here. 10 p.m. religiously.
Great. Yeah. Well, we are old men, as all our viewers now know.
11 p.m. is a young man lifestyle.
No,
what time do you? I mean, you wake up literally about 3 minutes before we record.
No, my alarm goes off at 7:15. I wake up at I get out of bed at 7:30 usually.
I'm pretty much, just for context, a bit of behind the scenes for the podcast listeners. I most weeks when we record ring Jamie at 8 a.m. He then answers at about 5 past, and all I hear for the first 5 minutes is just him crunching on cereal.
There's
that
the bowl right there. Look at that.
My morning.
You're not wrong at all. But I will do. I'm actually busy Friday and Saturday night, so maybe I won't be able to watch qualifying.
Social 183.
I know.
Dare share your plans.
Well, Friday night is my parents are visiting from the south of France, so
nice.
I'm out for dinner with them.
Nice.
So I'll show you.
I'm sure you'll be taking them out and paying for them.
Oh, definitely not. And then Saturday night, I'm actually watching McFly at the AO Arena in Manchester. So
wow!
If anyone's around, come and say hi.
And here I was saying you weren't an old man.
I know, and I'm going to a concert.
Instead, you're an old woman watching McFly.
McFly is not an old woman, man. They're not take that.
The only person I know that, and I admittedly don't know that many people because I'm antisocial, but admittedly, the only person I know that I think would self-proclaim themselves to be a McFly fan is my mother.
Really?
I would assume so.
They're a band of our generation. They were big when we were kids, yeah. If you weren't so sheltered, you'd have listened to them quite a lot as a child.
What do you mean so sheltered? How am I the sheltered?
You don't know anything about pop culture.
Yeah, but that just is because I don't follow pop culture. It doesn't mean I'm sheltered. I don't think my parents actively tried to get me to avoid pop culture. Just didn't care
enough
for it.
But listen to McFly, they're very good. And Busted are there too, who you probably know as well.
Is it Busted or is it... No, because Muck Busted would be McDonald's, surely.
Muck Busted was the joint band that they did one tour with, but they are two separate bands. But this show
is... You're a real nerd with this kind of thing, aren't you?
I like McFly a lot, yeah. I'm excited.
No, do you want to say that any higher pitch?
No, I don't.
Anyway, I mean, after knowing music, I guess to kickstart the show, we probably should actually talk about some F1. I said it on, was it Monday we recorded? I think it was Monday. Was it Monday or Tuesday? Either way,
it was one of those.
After we finished recording the show, Jamie was like, "What are we going to talk about on Friday?" And I went, "Mercedes contracts. They'll be announced. They'll be confirmed." Jamie, I was absolutely right for once on this show.
You were. And was it? I'm not sure we had it recorded, though, so it doesn't really count. Yeah, it's the worst kept secret for this year of Formula One, really.
I mean, it wasn't even really a secret, was it?
Exactly.
Because Toto Wolff kept saying it was going to happen.
Yes, and I imagine they've paid George Russell especially slightly over the odds after his very good win in Singapore. But, yeah, good news all round, I think. Mercedes seem happy with their driver lineup. I think Antonelli in Europe was absolutely awful, to be honest. But since the European season ended, and Toto have called him underwhelming after Monza, he's actually picked up a little bit, and a fourth and a fifth in Baku and Singapore is decent. Despite his teammate coming second and first in those races, it's good for a rookie, for a 19-year-old. So, yeah, I'm sure they'll continue with him long term. And really, the only question was about Max Verstappen, wasn't it?
Yeah, and even then, of course, it was all this rumour, wasn't it, that it would be Verstappen taking Russell's seat. But I think, yeah, that Singapore win, I think it would have been that thing. As someone that is still quite a Mercedes fan personally, if they didn't re-sign after all this speculation and all this talk, after he just won Singapore, then I think you'd be really, really worried about kind of what's going on over at Mercedes as well, because that would be quite toxic, I think is probably the best way to describe it. I mean, it's one of those weird things, isn't it? Russell had no better options. Mercedes have no better options. They want to keep Antonelli. I think they want him to be their long-term project. And, you know, you kind of need George for the shorter term. But, of course, it's still a bit odd in the fact that normally, obviously, Jamie, if you're signing a driver on a one-year deal and there's an option to extend, what is normally our catch-all term that they use in Formula One for these contracts?
Multi-year deal.
They haven't even called it that, have they? It is a one-year deal. He has just signed a contract extension.
But to be honest, as we said earlier in the season about silly season, the clever move right now with such a big rule change coming is to have your contract finish at the end of 2026.
Because absolutely,
you don't have a clue, realistically, what the pecking order is going to be in 2026. So all the drivers want to kind of hedge their bets and have a way out if their team is shocking, or if a random team with bad drivers is suddenly really good, then they can, you know, easily transfer to that team. So that's what we saw with Max Verstappen. He's kind of putting off these escape clauses and making sure he's got a route out of Red Bull should he need it. Obviously, George Russell, who's now ending 2026. I think Piastri is. Have I made that?
No, Piastri got an extension a couple of years ago. I think he's to the end of 27, I want to say, because Lando's to the end of 28.
Yes, but there's very few contracts that go beyond 27, certainly. I think there's three that are locked in until 28, and one of them is Max Verstappen, who's got all these escape clauses, should the competitiveness be poor. So,
yeah. And I mean, every driver and every team will have escape clauses. Usually with Formula One, the contracts aren't worth the paper they're written on.
Yeah.
is the hilarious thing, isn't it? All this money flying around. But contracts can very, very easily be broken. I mean, yeah, it makes sense, doesn't it, from Mercedes and George Russell's POV. It makes sense, obviously, from Mercedes and Andrea Kimi Antonelli's POV. I think if Antonelli can kick on well in these final few rounds, obviously the sprints. I'm trying to think. Obviously, Miami got pole in the sprint, got a bit screwed over in the race.
Very.
Belgium, obviously, really struggled. I can't even remember what happened to him in Shanghai. I'm trying to work out whether I don't know whether the sprints kind of favour the rookies or not, because everybody gets less track time.
I feel like a sprint at a race that all the drivers know probably disadvantages the rookies, because other drivers have previous years to pull from in Formula One, whereas obviously the rookies don't. So, I mean, China was so early doors that I don't think any of the rookies did particularly well. Antonelli was seventh. Yeah, no other rookies in the top 12.
No, so, there you go then.
Yeah, not great. But obviously Miami was excellent, and that was the last time.
The sprint qualifying was. The rest of the weekend was pretty appalling in the end.
But Antonelli hasn't... That was his only American race so far. So you never know.
It's been everybody's only American race so far this year.
Yeah, true. and to be fair, the other North American race in Canada, Antonelli also did pretty well, so...
As long as a race isn't in Europe... Well, it's that theory, isn't it? That Antonelli does well I can't remember what it is.
There's some drug that is illegal.
There's some drug, yeah, that's banned in the EU that's allowed elsewhere that Antonelli apparently needs to cook on, which is quite funny.
Yeah, I don't know who comes up with that kind of theory, but yeah, every country where it's legal, Antonelli does well, and every country that it's not, he does pretty awfully.
Yeah, brilliant statistic. Jamie, it's the US Grand Prix. Well, is it technically the US Grand Prix, or is it named just the Texas Grand Prix? What's the official name?
Back in our day, they used to just call the Grand Prix after the country they were in. But,
exactly. You get an Emilia-Romagna, you get a made in Italy. Yeah. Oh, no, it is still technically the United States Grand Prix, then.
Good.
Because obviously we've got a Las Vegas Grand Prix and a Miami Grand Prix as well. I mean, there's more than half the teams have got a special livery this weekend.
Yeah.
Like, genuinely, I am slightly confused as to... Like, I can understand Vegas maybe a little bit more with it. But I don't understand... Because this is kind of now, I think, for like a standard... Like, a casual bystander... Probably the least important US Grand Prix, despite the fact it's probably still the most traditional one.
It's definitely the most standard, isn't it?
Yeah, but so many teams are bringing special liveries here. And I don't really kind of get why, because it's not even like this race usually gives a good race either.
It gives
most of them
right,
are pretty mediocre. They're not bad usually, but they're not great either.
I mean, you say that, I think of all the races, this is going to be a big claim, after of all the tracks that have debuted on the calendar since the year 2000, I would say COTA is the best one in terms of design, racing.
Turkey.
All the ones that are still on the calendar.
Bahrain.
Bahrain's close, actually.
But I would say Bahrain is better. Usually.
Bahrain is better, actually. I'll take that back. Second best.
There you go. Second, I mean, there's not that many that are still here that were there from the start.
All
there?
The new tracks, about half the tracks are new, aren't they? From the
year
2000?
Yeah, but they're all street circuits. That's the I know where you're trying to get me with that one.
but yeah, I mean, I do like it.
Yeah. Six different liveries though this weekend, Jamie. Alpine, Aston Martin, Williams, McLaren, V-Carb, Haas. How are you rating them? Let's just give a quick rundown.
The Aston's barely changed.
The Aston's the same car, just with some neon green.
Yeah, so I'll put the Aston bottom, because all that's changed is a few sponsors of different colours, basically.
Yep.
I'll then put the Alpine, because it's changed a little bit, but it's also changed for the worse.
Yep.
But it's a good joy we won't be seeing it on camera, so that's fine.
Probably no, especially Colapinto's one. I don't know, the Alpine livery is not that great anyway, so I think, let's slap bright yellow on it.
Yeah, it would just act as a warning sign for when the leaders come to lap them.
Exactly. I know why they've done it as well, before anyone comments, going, oh, it's this South American company sponsored them. I'm well aware.
Yes.
But it still looks hideous.
I will controversially then say the V-Carb. I don't like it.
I agree with you. Bang on. The V-Carb looks like it's ran over a lion.
It looks like it's on
a
fire.
Tiger. It does also look like it's on fire.
In a bad way. I mean, I kind of... Yeah. It would be quite a spectacle if it does catch fire over the weekend, and then the firefighters won't know what to put out. So that would be my fourth place. I'll then go.
Are you getting firefighters confused with like a gazelle or something?
A gazelle. Yeah, they are one and the same. I live with a firefighter. He looks a bit like a gazelle. So
I'm sure he'll be happy to hear that. Through
he doesn't. He doesn't.
When
these.
We see Jamie in a headlock 2 weeks from now, we'll know why.
I'm going to put the McLaren next. I don't massively like the. If you're going to go chrome, go full chrome. Like 2023 Silverstone was really nice.
It was, yeah.
But this half and half effort, I'm not a big fan of. Then I'll go Haas, because I think it's okay, but it's got a bit too much going on.
It's that horrible thing with the Haas, isn't it? Is we're not American.
Exactly.
The only way you can justify why you're not a particularly big fan of it is we aren't American.
It's a bit brash and it's a bit cheesy, but that kind of makes sense. But
it'll be going round. Like you'll hear the Haas go around. It'll just have Born in the USA playing
Bruce
out of
Springsteen.
A speaker. Like on Top Gear.
Exactly. Exactly. So actually, but the Haas did make it to second place because I don't think any of them are particularly good. And then Williams top, because it's classy, it's sleek, and I like it.
It looks awful from the side profile, but from the front it looks pretty
damn
banging,
doesn't
it? I
don't think it even looks that bad from the side profile.
It looks a little bit confused from the side profile, in my opinion. But yeah, from the front or the back, it does look pretty good.
It's a tribute from the 03 era Williams BMW
is the year. Which I mean, they raced at Indy in 2002, but I don't believe
they came second in the constructors that year, supposedly.
Yeah, I'm trying to see where they ended up. They didn't even get a podium at the US Grand Prix in 2002.
Oh, it's celebrating Atlassian, which was founded in 2002. So it's almost as old
right.
as we are.
Right. Okay. God, yeah, that's green, isn't it? And I'm sure Atlassian's worth a lot more than we are as well.
Probably is.
Juan Pablo Montoya finished fourth. And from starting from fourth. And then...
Ralph was the other one.
Ralph Schumacher was two laps down.
Yeah, brilliant. Well, there you go. But that's my livery ranking. Matt obviously did a TikTok doing the same thing.
I was pretty similar with what you said. I think I went Alpine, Aston... No, sorry, no, I went Alpine, V-Carb, Aston. Then I went Haas, McLaren, Williams.
Fair enough. And of course, we're very biased towards the British teams because that's what we are in this podcast.
Exactly. People are calling me a McLaren fan, even though I'm not.
Exactly. What else is going on, Austin? It's a heat hazard race, which...
Yep, again.
I don't agree with, personally, but...
You disagree with global warming, do you, Jamie? It's all a myth.
Not with global warming, but it's like these drivers are high-performance athletes.
Got the choice. They don't have to.
Yeah, which I'm glad about. And I'm glad that Max Verstappen will continue to not use it. Did you see Alex Albon actually say he was very cold in the first 20 laps of Singapore?
No.
He was like, it works too well. Because obviously they train for Singapore now so much that they know what to expect, especially the drivers who've been around for a while. So Albon said the heat vest he was wearing effectively kept him cooler than he would have expected.
Yes,
in the first 20 laps, and then only when it really got going and like you kind of start pushing a bit more later in the race did it start helping, because before that it was like he was racing in a fridge by the sounds. But there you go.
I mean, you see, if you get like ice down on your nipple or something, surely that's not what you want.
That's an image I could have done without.
It's not an image, Jamie. I'm not gonna go get some ice and show
good,
you what it'd be like.
Good. We don't want to get this.
You imagine you're one of their engineers on the radio, and you're there like, "How's the pace?" And you go, "Yeah, pace is good." Oh! It's like just ice goes somewhere you weren't expecting.
Well, I'm glad I'm, not one of the engineers with that on the radio at the other end. But there we go. But we'll see who uses it. It's a bit cooler than Singapore, and it's less humid, but it is still warm in Texas.
Well, it's
it
meant
not.
To be, I believe, it's on track to be the second warmest US Grand Prix out of 2013.
Yeah, and they didn't need cooling vests then.
No, they didn't. But the cars were also a lot less physical to drive back then, because they were a lot slower. Yeah.
Is that true?
Yeah, the cars were a lot slower in 2013, therefore they're less physically demanding.
Mm. Well, just Sebastian Vettel fans have now all turned off.
Has he got any still? I mean, I'm sure he does, actually. I can't be too controversial about Seb. Jamie, you've put in the notes, which I'm slightly confused. I assume you're using the basic laws of mathematics. You've put Max's 50-50 to win. Is that the Grand Prix? Is it the World Championship? And is it based on the idea that he either will or he won't?
That is a quote from Max Verstappen about the World Championship. So
that's a couple of weeks old, isn't it?
No, it was on Thursday this week. So he was he was pushed on what he would rate his chances of winning the World Championship. And he says, in true mathematician fashion, it's 50-50. You either win or you lose. Which I think is phenomenal. Phenomenal bait, which is now going to make loads of headlines, obviously. I love it.
What did you study at uni?
I tried to study math and failed to get onto it.
So what then did you study?
I did materials science and engineering. Well, some proper Jamie Law this week. There you go.
I know. We get some real good stuff in here.
But no, I play a bit of online poker, not with real money. So obviously I'm very familiar.
I was
going to
say, this would be like the biggest Jamie Law. Where do you play online poker without real money?
On a tabletop sim with my friends. It's good. Good fun. I'd recommend.
I haven't got any friends apart from you.
Well, anyway, obviously, in the world of poker, the odds are always 50-50 as well, because you either win or you lose. So I'm familiar with Max's game here, and I'm glad that you think...
Is that how poker works? I thought poker, like, there's a whole system with it now.
Oh, one of my friends will calculate every percentage of every card, and he's impossible to play against because he always does the odds.
Well, surely every card has an equal percentage, it's 1 in 52.
Well, it is at the start, but then when you know some cards are on the table and you know what cards are in your hand, it changes the odds a lot.
That's the key.
Every day. Oh, brilliant. Yeah. We're not going to do knowing poker anytime soon with Matt's knowledge. But there we go.
Fair enough. What do we want to do, Jamie? Do you want to talk about Audi first before we do our predictions and everything?
Yeah, let's talk about Audi. It's been a while since we glazed Hulkenberg, so...
it's because he's done nothing worth glazing since Silverstone.
Honestly.
He's basically disappeared for 4 months.
Literally, people were rating him like top three or four drivers in terms of how good their 2025 season has been after Silverstone. Since then, he's not scored a point.
And I mean, Sauber haven't been awful since then, have they? Because Bortoletto's kind of been there or thereabouts a few times. But Hülkenberg has just gone into early retirement, basically.
I think he parted a bit too hard after the podium, and I don't blame him after 15 years, to be honest.
No, nor do I.
But yeah, Bortoletto, I mean, he's not scored tons of points since then, but he did well at Hungary, and he got a couple at Spa. But even then, I think... I mean, he's got a few more points, actually, to be fair to Bortoletto.
Yeah, I was going to say, he's had a pretty good little... Not like he's not always inside the top 10, but he seems to pick up a few here and there still.
Yeah. But the Audi, anyway, which is obviously what Sauber are becoming... in 2026 and beyond, Audi have said that their engine looks good. And I say Audi have said this, they haven't said this.
Rumours and conjecture.
Yes, it's pure paddock talk. But there's no smoke without fire. And usually, the paddock talk about what might be coming in the future, you know, it's not that far off, is it?
Honestly, it depends, doesn't it?
But with stuff like this, you know, the rumours in 2013 were that Mercedes were going to be the best team, and they were by a long way. And the rumours now are that the same thing are going to happen with Mercedes.
We'll see.
I'm excited for Audi. I'm actually excited for 2026 generally, because it feels like everyone's kind of not playing themselves down. And I think there's
a lot of hope, isn't there?
Famously, Ron Dennis said that McLaren Honda were here to win in 2015, and that didn't go too well. But
nope. Honda have won since... Actually, to be fair, both Honda and McLaren have won since then. So Ron Dennis technically now isn't wrong.
He wasn't right in that they were going to win in 2015.
No.
But, yeah, it has gone well since then.
I can't wait for the 2026 performance of each team to actually be fairly close and it just be the regs are terrible. That's what ruins it. Like, all the teams are actually... Like, the cost cap works really well. The teams are all on a fairly even playing field. And then the cost cap absolutely ruins the racing.
The regs.
Because that seems to be the big talk at the moment, doesn't it, still? That no one's really quite sure how the regs are going to work out. And it seems like every other week now a new report comes out saying they might not be as good as we thought they were going to be.
How good
we thought they were going to be a couple of weeks ago, they might not be that good.
Am I wrong in thinking they're scrapping DRS for 26?
Yes, it's all active aero.
Yeah, which... Who knows what's going to happen with that? Turbulent air is always the kind of big enemy of Formula One racing.
Well, grain effect was going to fix everything, and then less than 6 weeks later, dirty air is still a factor again.
Exactly. And simplifying the aero was going to fix everything in 22. And I mean, F1's not in a bad place at the moment, realistically, but it's never going to be MotoGP. Put it that way.
No, exactly. We're gonna do knowing bikes from now on.
Definitely not.
Much better podcast.
Definitely not.
Quiz? Predictions, Jamie, or quiz? We'll do the quiz first.
I want to do your quiz because
right, after you absolutely embarrassed yourself on Monday, I can't do any worse than that.
I'm going to ask you the most difficult quiz of all time to get back.
Okay.
I'm actually not. But fun fact about the circuit of the Americas, and you've got to keep this in mind because it might come in handy. The last three races in Texas. The pole sitter has failed to finish on the podium. Did you know that?
Yes. Yeah.
So your task is simply to go as far back as you can, naming who was on pole position for the Circuit of the Americas.
Good Lord.
Starting with 2024.
Charles Leclerc?
In 2024? Are you sure about that? Do you want to change your answer?
I think I want to change my answer. Maybe?
I think you might want to change your answer.
I'm going to change my answer. Who remembers who gets pole for races, man?
I did just say he didn't finish on the podium, and Charles Leclerc won the race.
Sorry, I'm thinking of 23. Yeah, that's why. Who's starting on pole? Yeah, because all I was thinking about was the Max and Lando battle, but I completely forgot, obviously, Leclerc was up the road from this, wasn't he?
Both Ferraris were up the road from that.
Were they? Oh. Lando Norris, then.
There you go.
There we go.
With a little bit of help.
Yeah, exactly. Charles Leclerc, 23.
Correct.
Yeah. 22. Trying to think. Verstappen won. Lewis came second, I think.
There was an extended highlight of this on YouTube this week, which
there was, and I watched like the first 10 seconds and got bored immediately.
Well, you should have seen his own pole then, shouldn't you?
Yeah, probably. Is it Charles Leclerc again?
No, it's
no,
not.
No.
So you got 2 points, but no, carry on.
I'm not done yet. I merely asked a question. I didn't give an answer.
Technically, you got 0 points.
No. Technically, I'm still on 2 so great. Far. What an awful quiz.
You should be doing better than this. Especially I told you that they didn't get podiums.
Carlos then, Sainz.
There you go.
There you go.
Taken out of turn one.
Yeah. 2021 was Max?
Yes.
Yeah.
Was that a obviously question as well? I shouldn't have replied.
Yeah, that was also, yeah, that was kind of... And to be fair, I do the same for you.
You do.
I apologise if you can hear that. They're trying to re-tarmac the road outside my house today. It's very annoying. They've been doing it for 2 weeks so far, and no tarmac has actually gone down. So
is
I'm
it going to be like like Indianapolis 2005, where they've put diamonds in it that are going to ruin your tyres?
Ruin my tyres? Well, I'm not going round the corner of my road at 200 miles an hour, so I should be all right. 2020, obviously, there was no Grand Prix. 2019... was the first race Ferrari had been pegged back, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty certain. Because then they had an absolute stinker. So I'm going to say... Was it Bottas that won this one, bizarrely? I think it was Bottas won this race. But did he get pole? I'm going to say Bottas.
Correct. Wow, I thought that would get you. Well, yeah, I mean, no, you're already out twice.
No, I'm not. 2018. I'm trying to think. Obviously, Kimi won, but I don't think he got pole. I'm going to say Lewis pole.
Correct.
2017. I'm going to say. I'm trying to think who won 2017. Is it Lewis again? Yeah, I'm gonna guess Lewis pole.
Correct.
2016, I'm pretty certain again was Lewis on pole.
Correct.
2015,
only four
was,
more to go.
2015 was definitely Lewis because obviously that's where he barged Rosberg out of T1.
Are you sure about that?
No, I'm not actually. Said it. No, because Lewis was on the inside, which is not. So it was Rosberg, sorry, on pole.
Correct. That's three incorrect answers.
Somehow I'm embarrassing myself worse than you did on Monday with this
I'm
quiz.
So certain Hamilton's on pole, but actually it was Rosberg in 2015. Yeah. There you go.
Yeah. 2014, I'm going to guess Lewis.
Incorrect.
Oh, I'm going to say Rosberg then.
Yep. You're not carrying on now.
2013, Seb. 2012, Lewis.
2012, Seb. There you go.
Oh. There you go. So that was about all of them right then.
It was about a 50% hit rate. Probably overall.
That's better than you did last time.
It was. And sadly, no Graham Hunt on the pole position for COTA.
No.
But yeah, I think you either got zero, or you got two, or you got six, or you got all of them. The
let's
viewers
call
can
it
decide.
All of them, then. Let's call it all of them. I think
largest pole margin, fair. By the way, 3.5 tenths of a second, which is actually very small, I thought.
For modern Formula One, yeah. I get. What year was that?
2014, Rosberg.
Oh, that seems plausible then. Yeah,
and since then, the highest pole margin is 2.5 tenths.
Oh, there you go then. So hopefully, I can't wait for qualifying now to be separated by 0.6 of a second. When
even the wet one in 2015 was a tenth of a second in
well,
Rosberg's
favour. Weren't the Red Bulls really close as well? Or was that just in race pace early on?
No, Ricciardo was third, wasn't he? And I don't think Kvyat was that good, but That was Kvyat.
Kvyat was chasing him down in the race. It was both Red Bulls and both Mercedes right there early on, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, it was.
Kvyat stacked it.
Well, Ricciardo got a point in the end anyway, so neither of them did well.
No, exactly. Predictions, Jamie 183. What are the scores on the doors?
I know I'm winning, which is good news. Currently, I'm on 56, and you're on 45.
So there's an 11-point gap. There are 54 points available, I still think, between now and the end of the year.
Something like that.
So technically, I could have scored 3 so far this year, and I still have a mathematical chance, which would be quite staggering. So obviously, on sprint weekends, for those of you that maybe don't know, we do sprint race, pole, top 3, don't we? We don't bother with sprint quality.
We don't bother with sprint quality. Too many points.
Yeah. It gives me an unfair chance.
Exactly.
I'm going to say... Lando, sprint win. Oscar pole. Oscar win. Lando. Max Verstappen. I'm going to be really boring. I need the points.
Okay. I already had in mind what I'm going to do, and it's just going to play into my championship narrative.
Wonderful. Max is going to get all 3 places on the podium.
I will say Max Verstappen will win the sprint race.
Okay.
I will say Max Verstappen will get pole position.
Okay.
I will say Max Verstappen will win the Grand Prix.
Okay.
I will say...
I'm hoping your naive bias is going to screw you over towards the end of the year.
I will say George Russell in second.
Are you hoping for,
and
man?
And Oscar Piastri in third place.
Oh, man, that is brilliant.
If I get more points than you this week, then something has gone crazy for me.
If you get more points than me this week, I'm stopping doing the show. I'm going to make
We've got that on camera,
clear,
everyone.
Right?
No episode next week.
It will be over if you somehow outscore me in this week's episode. Because I will just spend the rest of my life crying. Have we got anything else to add, Jamie?
No, I think we've smashed it.
No?
Yeah, we'll be back on Monday, hopefully.
Back Monday, 8 a.m, ready to record?
Yes.
Wonderful. I will be there. Thank you all, as always, so much for listening. If you have enjoyed, please do make sure to leave us a like, drop us a follow, drop us a sub, all that good stuff.
Can you hear that doorbell? I'm very sorry about that.
Is someone ringing your doorbell?
We got a new doorbell. We got a doorbell this week.
We got a new doorbell.
The doorbell receiver is in my office, so it's stupidly loud.
Nice. I didn't hear it personally, so maybe we got away with it.
Shout out to Discord noise cancelling.
There you go. I'm sure we will get a ding dong on the pod. Even if it didn't actually do it, I will add one for comedic effect. I'll make it say something really rude.
Brilliant.
Make it sound like Jamie's doorbell. Anyway, we will be back Monday then to review the US Grand Prix. Obviously, then we'll have Mexico as well. Jamie, we're going to get far too used to hearing each other's voices. Personally, I can't wait.